You're listening to Cross Currents from KALW News. I'm Hanat Baba. San Francisco comedian Kate Willett is accustomed to not fitting in, which makes her perfect for stand-up comedy. Willett takes her self-described weirdness to the stage to challenge ideas about what women can and cannot do. She spoke with KALW's Jen Chien about using humor to get her point across.
So in this city, San Francisco, that's in the midst of this tech-induced transformation, you've got kind of an old-school San Francisco freaky living situation.
It's true.
You live in an art collective in a converted church building.
Yeah.
Can you tell me more about that? And does it give you material for your comedy?
Yeah, it's a convent, in like a converted convent. And there's 23 people who live there. It definitely gives me a lot of material for my comedy. It's weird because I've only really felt the change, like, in San Francisco this intensely maybe during the past 3 years. And I was thinking about, like, if I started comedy now instead of, you know, several years ago, like, would I have a bunch of jokes about, like, tech stuff, you know? Because I kind of, like, spent a lot of time in San Francisco with all these, you know, freaky people, polyamorous clowns, like, weird hippies, like, baristas, like, conspiracy theory guys. And my experience of this city was very shaped by those things. But I think if I moved here now, it wouldn't be the same thing.
And how did you get into comedy? Were you doing that already when you came here?
I tried it for the first time when I was in Chicago in grad school there. And then maybe a year into grad school, I dropped out / was kicked out of grad school and decided, okay, I'm going to be a stand-up comedian.
And what were you in grad school for?
I was in grad school for theater. And I was at this school called DePaul. And it was a constant struggle there because there was just like a giant emphasis on, you know, like, you need to sort of fit into this box. It's like very, you know, actressy, like just like extremely good posture. And kind
was
of
this about theater, stage?
Yeah, and I was just constantly getting in trouble for being like too weird.
So you knew already when you were heading towards comedy, this is an area where I can be more myself.
Exactly.
Is that kind of what drew you to it?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and also say what I wanted to say, because I'd be in some plays sometimes that, you know, it's somebody else's words, and I didn't always agree with whatever message the play had, you know? Like, there's a lot of kind of shades of worldview between I'm adamantly opposed to this and I'm behind it 100%, and I like going up on stage as a stand-up because I can only say stuff that I really feel like I'm behind 100%. And if I'm not, if I find that I'm not, if my point of view evolves, I can just change it and do something different.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of doing stand-up in your act, your comedy can get kind of dirty or explicit, but let's listen to a bit that's safe for the public radio airwaves.
Okay, sounds good.
Sometimes, as a woman, I feel like my friends really judge me for being what they like to call promiscuous, but I prefer to think of it as attractive. But the other day, I was talking to this friend of mine, and he says to me, he's like, "Hey, listen, dude, I don't want you to take this the wrong way, but just like, I'm really worried about you, because you've been having a lot of one-night stands." I was just like, whoa, I appreciate your concern, but do you seriously think I should have sex with all those douchebags again?
So, you do talk a lot about sex in your act.
That's true.
And you identify as a feminist. And
yes.
I'm wondering if those things are connected for you.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think that women, like, one of the major areas, maybe the most kind of the area where women have been the most disempowered is, you know, around sexuality. I mean, also economically, but definitely in sexuality as well. You know, there's still like a huge stigma against female sexuality a lot of the time. Like, if a woman pursues sex, it's, you know, it's like, oh, she's either desperate, or, you know, she's loose, or, you know, there's something wrong with her, she's not worthy of respect. Or, you know, even in a lot of kind of sexual relationships, you know, especially heterosexual relationships. I've been in relationships with women and men, but I've noticed especially in heterosexual relationships, the power dynamic is always part of the relationship. Like, the fact that, you know, one person has a lot more societal power in that relationship than the other person, I think, is something that's important to discuss. And a lot of the way that you see that come out is through sex. And so I think that that's kind of why it's particularly important for me to explore that topic as a feminist. And also, it's funny. People are very vulnerable during sex and the emotions are involved. And anytime people are just really themselves and kind of like behaving on impulse, that's more likely to lead to hilarious situations. I try to kind of expose the power dynamic and then also find what's funny about it, because humor is a way that people will actually listen to it. Like, if you're just talking at people about feminism, like, a lot of people do not want to listen to that, or they don't think it's an interesting subject. But I find it very rewarding when I see guys like sort of register when I'm doing comedy. Like, they'll be laughing, but I'll also see it register that, like, oh, hey, like, the ladies that I'm sleeping with are people. And it's like
the light bulb goes on.
Yeah, exactly. And that's really fun.
What is your comedy writing process like?
Usually it's a mix of, like, sort of sitting down with a notebook for a while and thinking about what's important to me, and kind of writing about certain topics. And then when I go on stage, actually putting those topics into the structure of jokes.
Some part of that you kind of improvise? Is that what
you're saying? For some reason, being in front of an audience is what helps you make something funny.
Like you're saying, sometimes you go out and you don't know quite what you're going to do, but even if you do know what you're going to do, it's just you alone with a microphone just talking.
Yeah, exactly.
And sometimes it goes great and sometimes it doesn't. Do you have any stories about bombing? Or
I mean, it usually goes well at this point because I have jokes that I've tested in front of a lot of audiences. But I did do a show recently out in Walnut Creek that there was, like, some people were laughing, but some people were also really mad at me. Like, I could see some of the people looking at me and being like, wow, I hope my granddaughter's life is nothing like this.
And having developed a thick skin like that, has that affected other areas of your life?
I think that I developed the thick skin before I started stand-up, and that was kind of what allowed me to finally start stand-up. Like, when I was in theater school, man, it was really hard, because I for sure did not fit in with those people. I think that at the end of that year, when I finally decided to start stand-up, I was like, ready, you know? I was like, I don't need people to like me. Like, I hope that they do, but if they don't, I'm not gonna die, you know? Which, like, I think is kind of like contrary to how the human biology works, because they think that you're supposed to feel like you're gonna die if people don't like you. so that you, like, adjust to behave,
so you can stay
fit in with the tribe,
the group.
Yeah,
right.
Exactly.
Don't get eaten by a lion.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.